Greetings from the Southern Cohort of the 2019 UC Coro System-Wide Leadership Collaborative. Our cohort project is entitled Best Practices for Leading Campus and System-Wide Change Projects. Our deliverables include the production of podcast interviews with influential people in the area of change management, theory, and application. My name is Christian Villasenor, and I serve as the Director of Administration for Academic Affairs in the Office of the Executive Vice Chancellor at UC Santa Barbara. I am joined in this interview by Zavini Khan Marcus, Director of the Multicultural Center in the Division of Student Affairs at UC Santa Barbara, Dr. Daniel Jeske, Vice Provost for Administrative Resolution and Professor of Statistics at UC Riverside, and Brandon Rhodes, Chief of Staff in the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences at UC San Diego. Our guest in this interview is Dr. Kumkum Bhavnani, Distinguished Professor of Sociology and former chair of the Academic Senate at UC Santa Barbara, and the 2019-20 chair of the University of California System-Wide Academic Senate. Shared governance with the Academic Senate is one of the distinctive features of the University of California. The system of shared governance gives university faculty operating through the Academic Senate a voice in the operation of the university. Faculty participation in governance of the university through agency of the Academic Senate is a guiding force that unifies the 10 campuses of the university into a single system under a uniform standard of excellence. Shared governance provides the faculty with a mechanism to participate in the development of policy to guide the university and to play a large role in determining and examining possible changes, particularly far-reaching and impactful changes within the university.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, why don't we start by letting you just tell us a little bit about your background and then your experience with change management at the University of California.
I'm never sure what change management is, so I think I'm going to start by talking about my Senate work at UCSB. So, you know, experience with change management, I suppose it means when something new comes up, how do you take people along with you? That's how I understand change management. So a few years ago, I was reminded that there was the fossil fuel vote at UCSB when I was chair of the Senate. And that was a vote that said that the regents should divest from fossil fuels. That vote asked Senate leadership at UCSB to organize a half day or a full day conference. Now, in order to do that, I had to take the faculty along because even though the vote at the faculty legislature was positive, there was a lot of discussion. The first thing is to make sure that people know what it is that's being proposed and why. So that's the first step. What is being proposed and why is it being proposed? From that, I think we can start to work out strategies. So my strategy there was talk with a lot of the Senate committees, as well as chairs of departments, anyone I knew, but getting a lot of advice from the Senate staff and talk to them informally. Look, this has happened. It doesn't take long. It's a 5-10 minute conversation, but you have a lot of them. That's the first thing in doing change management, I think. So that's my experience, which is that the first thing is just letting people know what change is being suggested and why. The next thing is, when you're doing change management, you're taking sort of, if I say the community, that's a bit grandiose, but key sectors of the community along with you because you're telling them about it. The next thing is the people you work with who are going to be implementing the details of the change management. In my case, that was the Senate staff at UCSB. And so, you know, I had a meeting with the executive, many meetings with the executive director, but as far as I can remember, I think I had meetings with the Senate analysts as well to say, look, this is coming up, this is what we're going to be doing, how are we going to find the budget, and so on and so forth. The next thing is letting staff know, the people who are going to work on the details of it, letting them know there's going to be some extra work and try to sort out how that's going to be handled. Now, of course, in my case, the Senate analysts report to the executive director. So although I talked with them directly, she's the one who would speak to them about the details of it. But it's important that I acknowledge that I knew that there was going to be more work. So you take people with you because you tell them what the change is and why. Secondly, you talk with the people who are going to be implementing part of that change and see how that can be handled with regard to their overview. And then, of course, this is a very small thing, but then, of course, on the day, we had to have a lot of organizing, and I can talk a little bit about it. But those are the two key steps, I think. Letting people know it's happening, and then talking with the people who are going to implement it.
You've already touched on this a little bit. What does the phrase people side of change management mean to you?
People side of change management to me means that people are involved in it. They don't have to agree. They can be really cross with me and say, we don't want you to do this, you know, even if you're mandated. But they know that there is knowledge and comprehension of what is going to happen. I actually think you should try to take people along with you. You should get them to see, not should, you. One could get people to see the importance of why this is being done and for them to realize that they are being kept informed. Let me put it more succinctly. The people side of change management to me means that people are informed, that you discuss the change with them, and when they don't agree, you spend some time trying to see what the disagreement is, because that can only help you in implementing that change.
Thinking about that a little bit more, how do you think change might be different, say, at the University of California or in higher education in general, versus in the corporate world?
The difference between corporate and higher education in terms of change management, for me, is that in higher education, we are communities. We may not agree with each other, but we are communities where the very raison d'être of a university is that we discuss things, particularly in the UC, of course, and I'm thinking now about faculty, because we have shared governance. You can't do it. I don't think you should do anything without discussing this with faculty and their staff and their students. So in corporate, someone can come in and say, this is what we're going to do, right? And they don't have to have a discussion. You just have to go with it or leave. Well, that's my impression. Of course, good corporate places will discuss it with employees, and not just at the higher echelons. But in higher education, you must discuss it with everyone. We can then talk about the specifics for higher education. In higher education, you must discuss it with everyone.
How do you recognize when you need to engage in or ask for a change?
Firstly, I'd say I don't know how you recognize when you need to ask for change or recognize that it's coming in. I say I don't know, meaning I don't think there's a formula. I think we all recognize the need to implement change when we know the culture of the place we're working in. And that's not culture in an ethnic, racialized sense, but it's when we know the culture. So then I knew the minute, for example, I heard that something was going to happen about UC Care, that was in my first month as Senate chair, but I knew it was big. I just knew it, you know, and I instantly called a town hall. You know, within 1 week of the quarter starting, I said we had to have a town hall. So how do you recognize it? You have to know the culture, and then you have to have some confidence that this is important. If you make a mistake, well, you'll have to deal with it, but you have to make a judgment call whether it's important. Another way in which, you know, change management is critical are around issues of diversity. We all know that the UC wants to become a much more diverse place, ethnically, racially, in terms of ideas, everything. That's change management. And that's definitely means taking people along with you. But how do you recognize that? You have the data. So it's different ways. One is you have to know the culture of the place and just decide I'm going to do it. And if it's a disaster, well, I just have to cope. The second way is you look at data constantly and say, now what's going on with our institution?
Kumkum, you touched upon diversity and inclusion. And I would like to know, The best strategy for recognizing resistance, for example, in changing UC culture around diversity or inclusion, what are your thoughts on that?
So how do you recognize it? I don't know, because when we talk about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, we all know what to say. We all know to say that the university should be more diverse. So what we have to do somehow is talk with units where there is a desire to make it better and really go through some of the very hard issues with people. Let people say some of the stuff they're thinking, because if people say it, you can then deal with it. So how do you deal with the resistance? I don't really know, except I think we have to find spaces where people can either say what's worrying them about it, or we say it and say, well, look, here's the set of argument.
So in the bigger context, you say when there's resistance, creating space for conversations in any kind of change, listening to the pushback.
Exactly. I think when there's resistance, you have to have the conversations and you have to listen for what the pushback is saying and what that's implying and work on it. The starting point is always to assume that we all want a wonderful university. Always to assume that we really believe in public higher education. And if we start from there, it's then easier, because what we're doing is talking about different ways to make it higher education better. It's not insurmountable.
Next in the conversation, we discussed expected and unexpected costs associated with change projects.
Sometimes I suppose it might require more money because there's unexpected twists and turns in change management initiatives. And in your experience, what's been a good way to anticipate those in advance, or at least provide an adequate response to them when they happen?
I don't know how you anticipate them. I think you build in the contingency and hope for the best, because we can't anticipate everything. So the twists and turns can be, thought about and negotiated through using the very systems that the university has in place. Shared governance, for example. That's how I think we do it.
Kind of related to twists and turns is the idea of managing a lot of changes at the same time. You know, the simultaneity of asking people to work on multiple changes can lead to a lot of fatigue and maybe people checking out of some of the change processes. Have you seen that? And how do you think we could roll out changes in a more organized way so that we could avoid that?
I think there's always the desire to roll out changes in a more organized way. I think, again, this is something we do have to anticipate, that people will get fatigued. You have to say, after a certain period of time, some people are going to have time off, others are going to step in, do another part, and then you're going to come back refreshed and able to work on part B. So I think that's what change management involves when you're implementing it. That we can anticipate, or ought to be able to anticipate. How are people going to handle the work itself and build in, you know, when fatigue sets in, build in ways to remedy that?
I'm curious if there are signals or indicators that a proposed change should be reconsidered, readjusted, or just altogether terminated.
You have to be prepared to say, I can scale back or remove it. You have to always have that possibility in your mind. If you have that possibility, you are then going to recognize when you should scale back or when you should do something differently. I think when we're doing change, we think, oh, it's such a good thing to just do this. We then don't see what it is that could be a hindrance. How do you recognize it? You keep it in the back of your mind that that's a possibility. That's how you recognize it. Because if it's in the back of your mind, there'll be something that'll alert you to it. And of course, you're in discussions and you're hearing people. And people are saying this is not going to work.
Kumkum, can you recall any examples of projects that were stopped in your experiences, could be quite difficult to put the brakes on something.
It can be difficult. And I think that does depend on exactly what the project is and how it's being funded and so on and so forth. If we stop something, we do have to think about the people working on that project and what's going to happen next.
My last question for you, and you've touched on this in several of your answers already, but I was hoping you could reflect just a little bit more on what the most important characteristics for senior leaders or sponsors of change need to show when they're introducing, managing, and perhaps stopping change. What are those key characteristics that you feel are most important?
I think a comprehension of the culture. I think that's the most important thing. When you say what are the important characteristics, you have to not just know the culture, whatever knowing means, you have to comprehend it. You have to be in it. You have to be talking to people all the time. You have to be reading everything about the university all the time so that you're always thinking, oh, you know, so, okay, say I want to go ahead with, I don't know, some hospital in Cuba that does wonderful things around diabetes, right? However wonderful I think it is, I have to see what the culture of the UC is and who would not want it and talk with them. And it shouldn't matter to me that the academic senate of that campus said it was fine. I should talk with more people. I should have a very robust understanding of culture when I'm trying to implement change management. So the question, what are the important characteristics senior leaders should show? The important characteristics that senior leaders should show when introducing change management is a very robust knowledge of the culture of the place in which they're working. And because they're leaders, they should always make great attempts to talk with people who are not defined as leaders.
So I wanted to come back to especially the Senate, as you're so involved with it, and ask you about what do you think a lot of the work we do in the Senate is reviewing proposed changes to university policy or bylaws and such. So from your perspective, what do you think the best and the worst aspects of the Senate's change process is for that type of work?
I think the Senate's process is actually very good. People sometimes say, people who aren't in Senate feel that it takes a long time to review policies. It takes time. But a university is a place where we should be thinking about things. We don't have to move like corporations move because their impetus is to create profit and make sure that profit stays. Our impetus, our reason for being, to have ideas that will allow people when they come into a university to be educated. That is not to have only skills in particular tasks, but to be able to think and understand what culture means and so on and so forth. So what is the best? I think the best is that we do review very widely. The hardest thing is for faculty to see how rewarding it is to work in Senate. People think, oh, you know, I've got to do it sort of thing. And yet, once you start doing it, you see what a wonderful set of people you meet. And it's way wider than your own department. You know, people are not only arguing for their campus or their unit or their department. So you're working with people who really care about the university. So what are the best in terms of the change processes? This, that people come from across the university, work in a very committed way to make a better university and take the time to think. So the best is that we consider things. The hardest is that because of looking at all these policies, it's hard to be proactive. It's hard to do the things that you want to do. That's the thing that's hardest. And that's where the commitment from the Senate people is so important. And I tell you, faculty just give their souls to Senate. And it's wonderful. Dan, you know that. You saw that.
I definitely did see that. And I think you're absolutely correct that once you get involved with the Senate, you appreciate it so much for what it does to really make the shared governance model actively evident to everyone.
Whilst we've been talking about change management and leadership, the formal leadership, actually what happens is many of those ideas for change come from people who are not defined as leaders. For example, in a university and as a professor, I know that it's when students push us that we make changes around curricula and how they study and so on and so forth. It's the students who push the university, inevitably, I think, in terms of the teaching, the education. And so change management has to be alert to that as well.
I just want to say this has been a great discussion. I really appreciate your joining us. I thought it was really important for us to have representation from the faculty as we were looking into this question. And it exactly gets to this point of shared governance. And for change to be successful at the University of California, we have to recognize how the university is structured and make sure that we're talking to all corners of leadership in the university. And then as we present back to the campuses and to the Office of the President our thoughts on how to successfully lead change management, it's so valuable to be able to represent everyone's thought and to make sure that we give a complete picture. So I think you really helped us do that today. Thank you.
That brings our conversation with Kumkum Bhavnani to a close. And I want to thank my UC Coro cohort colleagues for their participation in this discussion. The music in this podcast is Times Are Changing from the amazing chill out Jazz Paradise.